All right, guys, welcome back to Yinzers Talking Sports. My name is Brandon. This is my co-host, Jeff. What's going on?
Not much, man. Sunny Florida. We're wrapping up the Grapefruit League. Pirates are doing... Yeah.
Pirates are being pirates.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's preseason. They're just getting warmed up. I tell you what, Cruz looks like a beast.
Yeah.
Multiple homers. Couple different games. He looks good.
Yeah. Speaking of the Pirates, off topic just for fun, did you happen to catch the Aroldis Chapman news last night?
No.
If you haven't seen it, Google it. It's kind of funny, but I mean, it's not funny. Wait, let me rewind it. He's out there groping an old woman. It's kind of uncomfortable, but I mean, only the Pirates, man. Like, we always joke that they might be cursed because it's always stuff like that. Like, you know, Derek Bell going on a yacht, operations shut down. We sign somebody's biggest free agent contract we give out. He's out groping women. At least he's not like our other closers groping children. But still, I mean, why? Why, man?
Yeah. You know, his wife's at home, so he's got a, you know, he's got knees too. Well, anyway, let's get off of that. I want to talk to Steelers today. You know, we all know Russell Wilson's now our backup, I guess. We went out and got Patrick Queen, inside linebacker from the Ravens. We definitely needed some guy with speed. He hasn't quite played up to his potential if you really look at the stats. But once Roquan Smith came along, he played better. I think he'll play better with Holcomb.
I did want to say something about that. With the, I read a lot about, well, Roquan Smith carried him, and that's why the Ravens didn't want him once they paid Roquan. But if anybody understands that, it's the Steelers. How many defensive players have we lost? The first one that comes to mind is in the 90s. Remember, Chad Brown was like the defensive player of the year, top three. Then he went to Seattle. And,
yep.
You know, he was like the first system player I remember. Like, where you're like, well, he worked in the system, but, you know. So, I don't know what to expect from Patrick Queen, but it's not like he's going to a bum defense. I mean, we have Watt and Highsmith and Fitzpatrick and JPJ. Like, he's not going to have to carry the defense, you know.
No,
there might be more talent on our side than theirs.
He's just got to play his side of the field. I mean, come on. I like the signing. I think, you know, is it Ryan Shazier? No, since Ryan Shazier got hurt, we've never really recovered. And he's the closest thing you're going to get for right now. And we got a good price for him. Hopefully, he works out.
Yeah, I like the 3-year deal. He'll probably see the end of that. You know, I feel like anything over 3 years is, you know, you're going to hear like a 4 or 5 year deal and a guy gets cut for a salary cap. I think he'll play out the deal. He's still, what, 26?
Yeah.
That one, in a good way for us, you're taking a solid defensive player, who's second team all pro, away from a division rival too, which is nice. But that one was surprising. The other one was Saquon Barkley leaving the Giants for the Eagles. I think those were the two most surprising free agent. And I guess you could throw in Kirk Cousins. I didn't think Minnesota would let him leave, but definitely Queen, Barkley, top two surprises for me.
You want to talk about the Deontay trade?
Yeah, I might as well talk about it. So we finally got rid of him. You know, a lot of people are pointing to that play where he didn't, you know, the fumble, he didn't go after it, whatever. But I think it goes further back. Like, where Deontay Johnson really lost the fans, I don't even think it was the drops or the fumble or whatever. I think it was a couple years ago when he had his youth football camp and then didn't come to it. So all those kids – that's where he lost the fans. I think that was like 2021 or 22, something. But so I think because of that, when people turn on you, it's hard to get them back. And then you talk about the effort plays. statistically, he's solid. I mean, he had like one or two bad years with drops, but like he's, well, I mean, you know, he's solid route runner, speed guy, you know.
He's got some antics. He's got some on the field issues. He's got some off the field issues, apparently. Apparently, he was kind of a locker room cancer from what I've been reading, and having a very negative impact on George Pickens, which we need to perform. You know, he's a good talent, so we need him to perform, and we don't need anyone to drag him down.
Right. And I think, I mean, he's only on one more year. I think he's around $15 million. That money offsets. I think we actually, with the cornerback we got back from Carolina, he was a solid, not spectacular player. Yeah,
Dante Jackson.
Yeah. And then there was the pick swap. I think, what, we got a six-round pick. We traded a seventh, something like that. But I don't know. I think it's a decent trade. If you're trying to move Deontay Johnson, you got something back, you know.
I thought it was a good trade. I mean, goodbye, Levi Wallace. I mean, Janus Sullivan, goodbye. I mean, even if you put Dante Jackson in the slot, which I think he would thrive on, you know.
Mike Hilton role.
Yeah, he's still in his prime. Put him in the slot. I really don't think he's got the outside talent to go against. He's 5'10". You know, I don't think he's got the outside talent to go against, you know, like Keenan Allen or Mike Williams or anything. But, you know, if push comes to shove, he's a good backup for, you know, the outside, you know, dispel people or put him in the slot. He's got enough juice. Put him in the slot and see what he does. Not over here.
The show must go on. Let this place burn to the ground.
Oh, well.
I'm with you.
And then we picked up Deshaun Elliott, the safety from the Dolphins, who was drafted by the Ravens, as a matter of fact.
I think he's solid. What was it, 2 years, $6 million? He's in his 20s as well still. I think he was Miami's second leading tackler last year, 80-some tackles.
He played well last year.
I think what we're seeing, we talked a little off camera, is Omar Khan is building a roster. And the reality of our roster is that our defense is very top heavy and expensive with Watt and Highsmith, Fitzpatrick. Now we got Queen, Hayward. I like the moves he's making. I think they're solid depth moves, if nothing else. Of course, the guy from Carolina, I think, as things stand, would start off as a Porter. You know, when you get a solid safety, that's my problem.
I agree with that. I like the people it's brought on, but I still think we've cleared up a lot of cap space. We've got a big move coming, whether that be, you know, wide receiver. There's Tyler Boyd out there. He's getting interest from several teams. I guess the Chiefs being one of them. There's Mike Williams. There's Hunter Renfro.
I like Renfro.
I like Renfro. He's a meat potatoes kind of guy. He's not afraid to get dirty or go over the middle. I think Keenan Allen's going to be out there too. It hasn't been because the Chargers are on fire. They're on fire watch. I mean, they're what, 60 over the cap or where?
Well, they restructured Bosa and Mac today. They released Williams. I don't know about Keenan Allen yet. Austin Eckler's gone. But I think the other thing with the Deontay Johnson, I think George Pickens is the clear number one now.
Definitely.
I mean, no doubt you're the guy, which, you know, sometimes, I mean, it didn't work for Juju. I think Juju was a better two guy. He didn't, you know, but that kind of complimentary player that you could get with Boyd or Renfro, for instance, when you got Pickens that can stretch the field, you got the guys that can go over the middle. Obviously, they're going to draft somebody probably in the middle round, third, fourth round.
With Arthur Smith running a running offense where he's only mainly going to have two wide receivers out there, you want Pickens can make the difficult catch. Now we need a speed guy. Whether that be Calvin Austin, he steps up. But I think you really need another deep threat. A deep threat guy where Pickett or Wilson can just throw the bomb if he gets in trouble, and they'll be out there to catch it. I mean, Austin's got the speed. It's just whether he's, you know, they have any faith in him. I think that that's still to be determined.
And that's, you know, you think back to like last training camp, July. I believe it was July or so when they traded for Allen Robinson with the Rams. And you went into the season, you're like, okay, we got Pickens, Johnson, Austin's healthy. We just got Allen Robinson. Freiermuth drafted the other tight end. Like, you felt really good. But now you have Pickens. Robinson, that trade didn't work out. They don't always do. They don't always work out. Deontay's gone. And Austin didn't really take the step you would hope last year. Maybe that wasn't his fault. Maybe it was the quarterback play, offense coordinator, whatever. But it looked like something. We had a lot of depth. It was a strength. And here we are. I mean, we really, as is, we got Pickens. I don't think you could put Austin in that. I mean, Austin's still in the potential stage, but it's Pickens. So they got to do something.
Well, they got to do something. I mean, there's plenty of people out there. And I don't want to leave that last spot to a rookie, even though I do think they will draft a wide receiver. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on a rookie coming in saying, okay, you're the number two guy. Go out there and produce. Because, you know, unless you're Harrison Jr. coming out, you're not going to go out and produce.
No. What would you think of, just for fun, because we've already signed Queen and the safety to play three. Well, they've got Odell Beckham. OBJ. He's not getting a $50 million deal. I'll say that. Not after last year.
Yeah. So I've seen that question post on Facebook and Twitter. I'm not sure. I'm not sold on OBJ at this point. He's I don't know. He's hurt more times than he's not.
There's the health issue, the money issue. Like I said, he's not getting $15 million.
He's not worth $15 million. He's not worth $10 million a year.
In Baltimore with a running offense, kind of what happened there. Again, maybe not his fault. I feel like those offenses really, the run like that, only have room for one top receiver. And in Baltimore, it's Mark Andrews. They've got all these. I mean, let me take that back. Zay Flowers is going to be a stud, I think.
I don't think he's going to be a stud in Baltimore. He's the first one to go. As soon as his contract's up, he's gone.
Yeah, I don't think it's ideal for receivers to want to play on running team. Speaking of Baltimore, let's talk about them for a minute. What do you think of Derrick Henry? What's he got left?
I don't know. He's never put up a 100-yard game against us. That's what I can say.
Yeah, I heard that a lot. I mean, he still scores touchdowns. I don't – like, they had – because I live in Baltimore, if y'all didn't know that. But today, they had his introductory press conference on NBC. WBAL. You got Jimmy C for giving him lifetime crabs or something. Look, you don't have to spend more than 5 minutes in Baltimore to get crabs. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I don't, you know, King Henry. Yeah. Okay. But.
Well, so I don't understand how that works. I mean, they lost Gus Edwards. I get that. They lost Dobbins. I get that. Or they didn't resign Dobbins. He just never worked out. He's another injury prone back.
Yeah, he's had some bad luck. But when he's healthy, he's getting 6-7 yards a carry.
Yeah, he's a beast. But you know, what are you going to get? You know, and then they got that draft pick they took who got hurt. He blew his knee.
He was doing good.
So you go out, you get Henry. He's in his 30s.
He's 30. Yeah. 30.
So I think when they said when the year starts, it'd be 31 when the league year starts. So I don't know. He's never really scared me. So we've always seemed to handle him. So, I mean, I guess what is he there for? Is he going to block? I mean, is he going to make a hole for Jackson? I mean, I don't.
Well, that's part of what makes their offense so dangerous is they have that committee. Now, They lost some offensive line. Traded what's his name to the Jets, Moses. They've lost some people. But that running back by committee where you know they're going to run it. You know Lamar's going to run it. But they still all had separate styles almost. And Derrick Henry is just a bruiser. So I don't know if that'll work or not. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was weird that he went to Baltimore. I don't think he's going to get the touches he wants. So,
I get it from his perspective. I just don't get it from theirs. But, you know, that's a fun thing. Like, we got months to talk about it. But you want to talk about some Pitt basketball?
Yeah, let's switch it up. I've had enough of the Ravens.
Yeah, well. Pitt today beat Wake Forest. Joe Lenardi, ESPN, everybody projecting them as kind of I think that might have beating Wake probably moved them into first four out territory. I think it's ridiculous. They are 22-10. Wake did beat them by 33 a few weeks ago. But 22-10, the ACC, come on, man.
Well, they play tomorrow. They've got, what, North Carolina,
7 o'clock.
I don't know. I think to get an attorney, they have to beat North Carolina. Now, will that happen? That's a stretch.
Well, see, that's the weird thing. Like, I'll say this. They did beat Carolina twice last year. Carolina beat them by 13. This year, this Carolina team is better. That said, for our Pitt fans, remembering back in the Big East where, you know, the Big East tournament was like a home arena, Madison Square Garden, sorry. I feel that way a little bit about playing in D.C. I mean, Leggett came off the bench. He was sixth man of the year. 30 points carried them today. They outscored Wake's bench some 38 or 39 to nothing. Of course, most of that was Leggett. Carrington, freshman, he's from Baltimore. Leggett, that's what I was going to say. Leggett's from Prince George's County right outside D.C. So we got a lot of local, fairly local players. So it kind of has that old Big East feel. But I think that it's ridiculous that they got to beat North Carolina tomorrow night to get in. Because I kind of agree with you.
Well, I think they have to do it. Do I think they can do it? Actually, I think they've got the talent on the team to do it. They have to stop making stupid mistakes. Like, I guess I get to see the game today. We talked off camera. They were up 19 on Wake Forest, and all of a sudden they're up 3. So, and they've done that a lot of games this year where they've That's been Pitt. Up big, where they've like hit the brakes, and I'm like, or they're settling. They're just going. They're not passing enough. They're settling for jumpers.
They get real. They get really excited about the 3-pointer. And that is their bread and butter. That's what makes them dangerous is they get hot. They can, you know, from three, they can blow you out. If they're not, you're going to blow them out. It's
what I've noticed, you know, when they've struggled, they're not passing the ball enough. And they've got to distribute the ball better. Pass it around. Try to get someone open. A better shot. I feel like they're settling for like one pass, two pass, and they're just chucking it up, and they're not getting the rebound. So yeah. where games where they really struggled, they've really struggled getting the offensive rebound.
And my problem is that when you're in the ACC, and they were 12-8 in the conference, double bye. They were the 4 seed in the ACC tournament. Double bye, they beat Wake, who's ahead of them on the line. Now they're probably not. After Wake had beaten them by 33, we mentioned that. But it's still the ACC. You mean to tell me the Pitt, who's now playing in the Final Four of that tournament, you know, there's some, like a 5th seed from the Big 12 is better. TCU's like the 8th seed in the Big 12. They're in. Like, it's still the ACC. Pitt still won at Duke. They won at Virginia, the longest home winning streak in the country. They ended that. They've been competitive. Now, they did say today.
I don't think it's enough.
They said the non-conference schedule is what hurt them, because I think they said it was ranked 340 out of 362. But they didn't have any bad losses, I don't think. So
And they beat some good teams.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we and lost. Even what's the name on the broadcast? They said they're a tournament team. Like, without looking at the paper, watching them, they should be in. Jim Boeheim, old Syracuse coach, he said the Pitt's a tournament team. People that know way more than us say that they're a tournament team. Well, I don't get it.
Hopefully the selection crew is listening to this and saying, okay, well, if we're on the bubble and they're looking at bubble teams to fill in the rest of the, you know, the tournament, hopefully they listen to people at Jim Boeheim because he knows what he's talking about.
And they did. They won two games last year. Blake Henson is a star. He could be, if he was at like Duke or UCLA somewhere, he'd be the player of the year. The guy's a stud. So I really want, for more than anything, to see Blake Henson play some more in March that's not in the NIT. But I guess we'll know more next week.
I will say this. Even if we lose, if we make it a competitive game and we lose by one or two, I think that helps us. I mean, we don't even have to win, but we have to keep it competitive. If we can hang with North Carolina, I think, and even if we win, great. If we win, we're in. I think we keep it extremely close. We might be in too.
Yeah.
But if we get blown out, it's over.
If we wrap this up, it's about the 20 minutes. Yep. So the next time we record next week, we'll have an answer if they're in or not, or who they're playing, if they're in the NIT, what happened.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, well, we'll catch up with you on, I guess, Monday.
Yeah.
So this is Yinger's Talking Sports. I'm Jeff. This is my boy, Brandon. And we will see you Monday. Go Pitt.
Yep.